You may remain seated. Grace and peace to you from the King, the Lord of all, who has forgiven your sins. Amen. Let us pray. O Holy Spirit, teach us to ever be thankful for all the gifts and to forget not the least of your benefits. Amen. We live in a world where nothing is free. We live in a world full of obligations. We live in a world where we expect people to pay what they owe. We live in a world where we expect a girl to pay the price for what she's broken. Someone told me the story of how her sister worked in a china shop. It was antique chinaware, but it was a small business. Week to week, she struggled to make ends meet, and this week, a mother came in with her 3-year-old daughter. And if you can't already imagine what happened, let me tell you. The girl got curious, and pretty soon, crash! A $350 antique vase was nothing more than a pile of broken glass. We live in a world where we expect people to pay what they owe. And this small business owner couldn't afford to just throw away $350. She needed to be paid. And so the mother had to work out a way to make things right, to make payment. Now, what happens when it's something more expensive? What happens when it's something more valuable than a vase? What happens when your trust is shattered? What happens when your relationship is broken? What happens when that little 3-year-old girl is the one who gets hurt? What happens when it happens over and over and over again? How many times, Lord? 7 times? We live in a world where we expect to be paid for what is owed. But the things we're talking about do not belong to the world. Trust and love and relationships. No, these belong to the kingdom of God, our marriages, our families, our churches. These are things that belong to the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, things are different. Yes, there must be payment, but the question is, who is going to do the paying? In the kingdom of God, things are different because the store owner is the one who does the paying, not the girl. Things are different because the king is the one who does the paying and not the servant. As deep as your debt might be, so much deeper is your forgiveness in the kingdom of God. God has to settle accounts. He has to settle accounts. He has to make things right. We've been in his china shop and we've broken his things, his precious things, things that belong to the kingdom of God, and now he comes and he must settle accounts. And for everyone in the whole world, there is going to come a time, sooner or later, when God is going to settle accounts. Over the years, it adds up. Think of how it added up for Joseph and his brothers. Genesis 37 through 50 tell the story of Joseph's 11 brothers and how it added up. Joseph had been given a very special coat, a coat that signified his favor in the family and in the inheritance. His father had given him this special coat, a beautiful coat, showing that Joseph was his favorite, showing that Joseph was privileged in the inheritance. And when you have 11 brothers that you have to share the inheritance with, that can be a pretty big price to pay. Jealousy was stewing and brewing and growing until they devised a plan. The brothers got together and they saw a group, a band of Midianite slave traders that were on their way to Egypt, passing by. This was their chance. They cut a deal with the slave traders and were rid of Joseph at last. They tore up his coat, covered it in blood, and told their father that he had been killed by a wild beast. And Joseph was taken away, cast out of the family, cast out of the inheritance, bound hand and foot, and he ended up spending the next 2 years in prison, in an Egyptian cell. It adds up. Over the years, it adds up. It adds up when we think about it. When we start to think back on our life, when we think of how much we owe, it adds up. The jealousy, the times that we've gotten angry at somebody else because of something they've done to hurt us and they haven't asked for our forgiveness, they don't seem to care. Because somebody else has been privileged to things that belong to us. Because they keep on taking advantage of us and we're left alone. Because we deserve to be paid. We deserve what we owe. We deserve something better from God, from our families, from people in our lives. It adds up. Year after year after year after year. Moment after moment. It keeps adding up. The hatred, the jealousy, the sins that we don't talk about. The grudges, the gossip. The ways that we secretly continue to harbor resentment. It adds up over the years. It adds up to the point where we have to agree with the psalmist, O Lord, if you should mark iniquities, who could stand? The weight of the debt is 10,000 talents. A talent is a weight of money. It values gold and silver in terms of how much it weighs. 10,000 talents. One talent is worth 6,000 denarii. And a denarii was a day's wage in Jesus' day. 10,000 talents was worth 60 million denarii. 60 million days' wages. What that is 168,000 years of work. What that amounts to is that if this servant wanted to pay off his debt, he would have to work every day for the next 1,000 lifetimes to pay what he owed that king. 1,000 lifetimes. What it means is it was a debt that could never be repaid. Even if he worked every day for the rest of his life, he could never repay what is owed. It means that we are in so deep that we can never make our way out by working it. But the kingdom of God is not like the kingdom of this world. In the kingdom of God, things are different. All that is left for us to do is bow. It shapes the way we worship. We fall to our face, we beg, we have nothing to offer, and God swallows it all. He was moved with compassion, the text says. He forgave him all the debt, and he released him, freed him, forgave him. God swallowed everything entirely, swallowed it all. In the kingdom of God, everything is free. But that's not because it doesn't cost something. It's because someone else is willing to pay the price. God was willing to pay the price. Jesus was willing to pay the price to take that debt, to take your sins, every one of them for every moment of every year, of every second, and to take it to the cross so that you are forgiven. So that he could rise from the dead and give you life and immortality and clear you of your debt. The wages of sin and death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. The Lord will again have compassion. He will cast our sins into the depths of the sea, Micah writes. And he has. He has cast your sins into the deepest oceans, into the deepest sea, into the waters of baptism. He has poured out that debt into the waters of baptism. Waters so deep that they can never drudge up what once was. So deep is God's love. So deep is his forgiveness. And when those sins go into the waters of baptism, they never come back. You are washed. You are cleansed. You are justified. So deep is his forgiveness. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives your sins. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. As deep as your debt might be, even deeper is God's forgiveness.
But we live in a world where we forget. We live in a world where we expect people to pay what they owe. We live in a world where we forget God's benefits, and a girl with a broken vase has to pay up. We're tempted to take her by the throat and say, "Pay me what you owe me." Maybe it's not a girl. Maybe it's a loved one. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a friend. But we want things made right. And so the servant goes out and finds one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, 100 days' wage. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe me." God had forgiven him for 1,000 lifetimes of debt. And he couldn't forgive this other servant for 100 days' wage. He has forgotten all of God's benefits. And what this is it's a sin against God's grace. It's one of the worst sins because it's sinning against God's graciousness and his mercy. We are not in the China shop. We are not in a world, in a kingdom where we barter, where we try to make deals and coerce each other into paying what they owe us. No, we're in a kingdom of grace, in a kingdom of God's grace, where everything is free because the price has been paid. We live in a kingdom where everything is free because the price is paid, and yet the cost is great. You see, the cost is not just to God when he forgives, but the cost is to you when you forgive. It is a great cost to forgive somebody and expect nothing in return. It comes at a great cost in us, so great that it puts our sinful nature to death. And that is painful. It puts our sinful nature to death because we have to release everything. Everything that's owed to us. Your forgiveness toward others is deep because you know the depth of God's forgiveness toward you. It is a depth of patience as we wait for the accounts to be settled, as we wait when the other person doesn't ask forgiveness, as we wait for God to settle the accounts. It is a depth of gratitude when we forget not all of God's benefits, who keeps on forgiving us. 1,000 lifetimes he has forgiven us. It is a depth of gratitude that gives us the strength to forgive other people. It all adds up. Think of how it had added up for Joseph. Cast out of the family. Left to be a slave. Taken to a prison in Egypt where he would spend the next 2 years of his life. Apart from anybody he knows. maybe didn't even speak the language. 11 brothers look on him, wondering if he's going to make them pay, he's going to get his payback. 22 eyes are looking at Joseph now, wondering if he will show mercy or not. You see, Joseph made his way out of that prison. By God's grace, he managed to come into Pharaoh's good favor. The king of all Egypt chose Joseph to be his right-hand man. He got his way out of that cell in Egypt to become the second most powerful ruler in all the world behind Pharaoh. And a famine had arisen in the land of Canaan. In his homeland, there was a famine which forced his brothers to come down to Egypt where they were going to try to get some supplies. And who do you think they run into? They stand before him, those 22 eyes, wondering if he's going to repay them for what they've done. They say in Genesis chapter 50, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil that we did to him. There's nothing left for them to do but fall on their faces before Joseph and ask for his mercy. And what does Joseph do? Take them by the throat, make them his slaves, throw them into prison, have them executed? We live in a kingdom where everything is free. And so he says, "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive." We live in a kingdom where God's grace is what reigns. Who do you have a chance to forgive, to release? 490 times, maybe, in your marriages, in your families, in your churches. Who do you have a chance to release from what they owe you? It all adds up. And as children of God, we don't always forgive as we should. It's a hard thing. But as children of God, we've been in his china shop and we've broken his things and we've left it in a pile of glass on the ground. And what does God do? He sends his son. He sweeps up the broken pieces with his spirit. And he says, however deep your debt might be, my forgiveness is deeper. The master pays the debt his servants owe him, so that the posture of being a servant is that of bowing down, is that of asking the Lord for mercy. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives your sins, who heals your diseases, who has compassion on those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed your transgression from you. We pray. Lord, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Amen.